All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. So for those of you who this is your first time listening in, The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related. And not only do we host this radio show, we put on various screenings throughout the week and host a lot more movie-related events. Upcoming, we've got The Devil Wears Prada and Zoolander playing tomorrow in collaboration with the Fashion Club at The Norm. And The Devil Wears Prada will play at 6 and Zoolander at 8. So we hope to see you there. We have a very fun episode with a very special guest today. This is Wes, not his first time on the show.
Hello.
Welcome, Wes.
Very Thank happy you. To have him back again. We're talking about the Oscars, but before we can get into that, got some ads, got some PSAs, so we're going to roll those out, and then we will be right back.
Are you BC Electronica? And we love electronic music, such as... We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
MRG Live presents Don Richard and Spencer Zahn at St. James Hall on March 2nd with support from Myrna. Don Richard is known for her collaborations with Catronata, and her new album features an intimate, soul-bearing orchestral soundscape full of soul, jazz, and confessional lyricism. You can get your tickets now at admitone.com, admitone.com. I wanna be the quiet in a world full of noise.
If I had only one. Attention, all artists, zine makers, writers, musicians, community organizers, activists, anarchists, proles, punks, and weirdos. Are you screaming for your voice to be heard? Do you resist capitalism and colonialism? Are you angry about the current political climate and ready to act up about it? Well, we want you here. The second annual Anarchist Book Fair is now looking for creatives, creators, activists, and organizations who engage in community building, mutual aid, active resistance, skill building, and knowledge sharing to table booths and propose workshops. This is an anarchist space, which means it opposes hierarchies and seeks to amplify unheard voices and build communities of mutual aid and support. First come, first serve. 50% of tables reserved for marginalized voices. Email sponsorship@citr.ca before March 27th. sponsorship@citr.ca sponsorship@citr.ca
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host Anita B as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
All right, and we're back. So this is the Oscars episode. If any listeners from last year remember, we had Wes on then as well.
And hell yeah.
I think you swept like with just this insane number of correct guesses last year. I don't know how you do it every year.
Well, this year I didn't do as good. I had a feeling this was going to be my worst year of predictions in years, just because this was probably the craziest and most exciting Oscars race and award season we've had in a while.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't do as good, it definitely made things more exciting, which was a lot of fun.
It was a crazy night. So we're going to kick it off. We've kind of got four categories for each little segment. So we're going to do Best Picture, Best Director, and Lead Actor and Actress, starting it off very strong with the categories, you know, that everyone always wonders about. So I guess let's kick it off with Best Picture, maybe.
Yeah. Best Picture went to
Anora.
Yeah.
Woo! That was awesome.
I was really happy with that. That's what I wanted to win.
Me too. It was in my top five movies of the year,
yeah.
I would say. And
yeah,
in
I
terms
agree.
Of the Oscar Same. Nominees, since I knew Dune Part 2 wasn't winning,
yeah.
Anora was the one that I put my support behind, for
yes.
sure. So I was a happy boy by that
yeah.
movie, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of lacking in my best picture watches this year. I think
Same.
I'd only seen Anora, Dune Part 2, and Wicked.
Oof.
So,
Oof.
Yeah. I was
That's
just
brutal.
Going off the general
yeah.
chatter around it.
Is that why you got 8 predictions
yeah.
right out of 23?
Yeah. I slipped off watching all the movies this year. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, the latter half of this year was so heavy in the Oscar nominations.
Mm-hmm.
The first
mm-hmm.
half is where I did all my movie watching, and then
right.
school started, and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No more movies anymore for me.
Yeah, because a lot of them happened to come out of the fall festival circuit, TIFF
yeah.
and Venice, and a lot of them won't even release until December or January.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it gets a little bit hectic. But if I was to recommend any on the Best Picture lineup, I would say you should watch I'm Still Here.
Yeah.
I really
want to see Boys.
That.
I am complete unknown sympathizer.
Yeah.
I love that movie, even though it's a generic biopic, but I'm such a Chalamet fanboy.
That's fair.
I would highly recommend.
Might have to do it for the Dylan.
Do it.
I want to see Joan Baez,
yeah.
you know.
For sure.
Got to get in there.
Oh, she kills it. She kills it.
Very exciting.
But Anora. At least you saw Anora.
Yeah.
Very well deserving.
Such an amazing film. The way it strikes this balance between humor and drama is just so insane. It really understands how to play these different tonalities off each other
mm-hmm.
to create such an engaging ride, because it's not a short film by any means.
No.
This is what, 2.5 hours?
220,
yeah,
215.
And yeah. normally
definitely
I
not the longest
90.
Still.
Oh my god. Don't even talk to me about The Brutalist. Having an intermission built in is crazy work.
Yeah.
I respect it, but
at least it's there.
Yeah,
at least
exactly.
it's there.
Which pretty much brings it to 4 hours. But
yeah.
Hey,
oh my god.
Don't see me complaining. Speaking of The Brutalist, we
yeah.
had Adrian Brody
steal
the
actor.
Oscar away from young Chalamet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was pretty happy with that. I thought his performance was pretty unreal. It
I've
just
heard crazy things about it.
Is sad that it was kind of ruined by the worst and
my
longest
God.
Speech of the night.
Yeah,
longest speech
okay.
in Academy history.
Yeah,
as well.
Yep, statistically the longest.
Yes, he just kept
going.
Talking.
He cannot talk. You have 4 hours to yap. Was that not enough?
He shut the music off.
Oh my God! I also thought that was so I've done this before. This
I know.
So let me keep talking.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
Okay.
It felt like he had a little bit of a Kanye moment.
Yeah.
Which was
yeah.
unfortunate.
And,
but
the gum spit before he went
oh
on
my
stage
God.
Was also
That's
like
true.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was not the definitely not the best moment of
no.
the ceremony.
I had a friend that I was kind of texting back and forth with on the Oscars made a really good point about how you get all these lower craft categories I can't remember which category it was, but I think it might have been sound for Dune Part 2.
Oh.
Before the third guy was able to speak, they just got completely cut off without
yeah.
any chance of saving it.
So
and
brutal.
It seems like these lesser known craft categories
mm-hmm.
get less allotted time for their speeches when the actors and the directors and these famous people get a longer time. But
yeah.
these craft categories and these craftsmen and craftswomen, this is their only chance that they're ever
yeah.
going to get a limelight to the public and be able to give a speech, whereas all these actors are going to be giving press interviews after and talking
oh, yeah.
to journalists and have hours and hours to talk about their art
yeah.
form, whereas these costume designers and sound designers, makeup designers won't.
Yeah. They don't have
so
that.
That's unfortunate.
And if any of them try to be no, stop, let me talk, I don't think
it would work.
No.
No,
yeah.
absolutely not.
But okay, you did say you're a Chalamet fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was asking my mom because she saw The Brutalist,
yep.
Complete Unknown, and Conclave. And I would say that those three best actor nominees from those movies probably were the three front runners,
yeah,
I would say.
For sure.
And I asked her what she would have picked if she was the Academy, if she was an Academy voter. And she said that she would have picked Timothy Chalamet,
there
and then Ralph Fiennes, and then Adrian Brody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know. I just want your take on that. Would you have preferred Timothée Chalamet to win?
I would have preferred Timothée Chalamet to win because it's Timothée Chalamet, not because I thought the performance was better. I thought Adrien Brody's was the male performance of the year, in my opinion. And so for that reason, I wanted Adrien Brody to win. But I would have been overjoyed if Timothée Chalamet won.
Yeah.
Because it is a very good performance, a transformative performance.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen it, so.
Me neither.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing that I hate the most sometimes about certain movie stars, like one that comes to mind is Leonardo DiCaprio, who's an amazing actor, fantastic
and
actor.
And who Timothy's been getting a lot of comparisons to because of the awards, everything like that.
Exactly. But whenever I watch a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio in it, I just see Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Or like Morgan Freeman is another one. Yeah. When you see a movie with Morgan Freeman, you don't see the character, you just see Morgan Freeman. And I was worried that was going to happen with Chalamet as he got cast in more and more movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch A Complete Unknown and all you see is Bob Dylan.
Okay.
All you see is the character. You do not see, he just completely disappears into the role.
Okay, I'll have to watch it. Because when I heard that he was going to play Bob Dylan, like whenever that was announced, I was kind of like, but I'm only going to look at him and see Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
So
I was worried about the same thing. And it completely was the opposite. He did not disappoint. It was a great performance.
Okay.
But Adrien Brody, he's just too good at playing a Holocaust survivor. What can I say?
I think we should talk about Mikey Madison.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was really happy. I know a lot of people wanted Demi Moore to win, but I think that, like, everyone is deserving to some degree, you know?
Yeah.
But I think Mikey Madison, 100%, that was hers. Like,
she was my walk-away performance of the year, male or female. I thought Mikey Madison was just wonderful.
So talented.
And it was definitely the upset of the night. It was the tightest category. I went into it like thinking Demi Moore had it in the bag until Anora started winning all these awards, especially editing.
That
kind of gave it away. But I was so glad that Mikey Madison was able to go along with the with the sweep. Not that Demi Moore isn't deserving, but to see a fresh up-and-comer to win the Oscar, I thought it was great.
Yeah, because like she really... Like, her performance Anora is truly something to behold. Like, the way she acts non-verbally is just so insane. Like, she conveys so much emotion, like, just with, like, eyebrow raises and stuff. Yeah. Like, very much akin to almost, like, I guess we'll talk about this later, but, like, Kieran Culkin to me. Like, how much they can sort of, like, they'll just hit him with, like, this sad puppy dog look. And you're like, God, there's another Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane how talented she is to like carry a movie like that
for sure
at her age, and I'm so glad that she's able to get recognition for that. Like, I cannot wait to see what she does next.
Definitely.
Because it's gonna be insane, whatever it is.
I love the kind of small moments you see when she's not trying to put on this persona of Anora, because I feel like that's the big thing about her character. Is there's Anora, there's Anora, which is the real person, and then there's Annie, which is the persona that she puts on for the public. And they're few and far between throughout the movie, but you get these glimpses of Anora, who she truly is throughout the film, but you get it so subtly, and I feel like it leaves it to audience interpretation. It just doesn't like spell out the character fully for you until the very end.
God. That alone, that scene alone.
Yeah. She was amazing.
Like, if anyone had any doubts, just watch that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sean Baker clearing out the...
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Making history.
Not surprised.
First individual to win 4 Oscars individually in one night.
Yeah.
Which is completely wild, but completely deserving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought this speech for Best Director was probably my favorite of the night.
Yeah.
Just advocating for independent theaters and the communal experience of watching movies, which I think is so, so important.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this right now, go support your theaters. Even if it's a big, dirty corporation like Cineplex, there's nothing better than being able to
watch a movie.
A movie in the theater.
In a theater.
Go out. One tomorrow at UBC.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not to shill, but
Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, Zoolander, both bangers.
Yeah. When's your next opportunity you're going to be able to see either of those movies in the theater?
Exactly.
So, right?
Come on down.
Enjoy the experience.
Yeah. I think that's honestly the perfect moment for, we got a little song from Anora.
Yes.
It just absolutely swept. So we have Greatest Day from the Anora soundtrack. Here it is.
Watch the world come alive tonight. Stay close to me. Shine the light on our greatest days. Light up, light up. Shine the light on our greatest days. Light up, light up. Tonight this could be the greatest night of our lives. Let's make a new start. The future is ours to find. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it in my eyes? Can you feel it? Oh, can you feel it? Can you hold it in your arms tonight?
All right, that was Greatest Day off of the Anora soundtrack. You know it, you love it, and if you don't, now you do. So we're going to be pushing on to our next category. So I think we're going to kick it off, supporting actor and actress, adapted original screenplays.
Yeah.
What Thoughts? Do you guys think?
Once again, lovely, lovely speech from Kieran Culkin. Hilarious speech.
Oh, yeah.
Thought it was so good. Thought it was so cute. It seemed like his wife was playing along. Apparently, when he did this at the Emmys a year before, she was like actually pretty mad at him after the fact. So hopefully they're doing okay. But
I think the bit has been solidified at this point.
In terms of Kieran Culkin winning, I personally was not the biggest fan of him winning compared to the other nominees like Guy Pearce and Yura Borisov. Being nominated in the same category. Even Jeremy Strong in The Apprentice. Yeah. I don't know if you guys caught that one, but he was fantastic.
I did not see it.
No.
But I want to.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I'm a big Succession fan.
Same.
So, yeah, I need to watch that.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I like the nomination. I just don't know if I see it as an Oscar-winning performance. Yeah. And if Kieran Culkin, like, wasn't in the picture, I would have really liked to see a race between Guy Pearce and Yura Borisov, as in, because they're these very just opposite styles of performance, with Guy Pearce being like this very explosive, over-the-top performance in The Brutalist versus Yura Borisov's very like subtle, quiet, focused role. And like the clash of styles there, I think, could have made for a really fun neck-and-neck race.
Yeah.
But Kieran Culkin had it in the bag the whole time.
It's also been like crazy, his like career trajectory in like the past few years, to kind of go from like being like, only really known for like the younger brother in Home Alone to just like
cousin, not even brother.
Yeah.
But brother in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and just like absolutely sweeping like every major award.
It's
just
insane.
Wild. Like
good for him.
I just love him.
Yeah,
and I
now
just
he's
love him.
Getting a bundle of kids out of it.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's wonderful.
I did really like his performance. I think, he's just, because I feel like there's also the people always say like, oh, he's just playing himself in every role. He's just playing himself. But
I heat it up. I don't care.
Well, and I think, you know, if that's the personality that he like brings to a role, maybe you can say it's like a little repetitive, but I think he plays it to the actual character in the story really well. Like in A Real Pain, where, you know, this character is experiencing, I don't want to say a real pain, but, you know, I think he just, it works really well. And yeah. I was happy. But I have some bias, some incoming bias towards him. So.
It's a matter of if you like it, he's talented. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of if you like it, you like it. Yeah. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
That's just how it's going to be. Because he is going to, it seems like, stick with that style.
It seems like it, yeah. I did really like Yura Borisov's performance. I thought, Mikey is, by far, just incredible in that. But he's, right there, too. Yeah.
He was, this has been said so many times and is very cliche, but he was the soul of the movie, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the perspective is really put on him throughout the whole thing. And he really carries it. Mikey Madison carries it as well, but I feel like without his performance, the movie wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, they play, they work well together.
Yeah, absolutely. We also had Zoe Saldana winning.
for Emilia Perez.
Emilia Perez, everyone's favorite movie of 2024.
I did not see it. Saw it. Did you both see it?
I saw it.
Emma.
This is one of the literally, films I saw, unfortunately.
The day before the Oscars, you logged it, I think.
Yeah.
So out of all the Best Picture nominees that you were missing, you could have watched them.
Oh, that's the one you chose.
You chose Emilia Perez.
Well, I had to watch something that was going to sweep. Yeah, I was like, okay.
That's true.
And it didn't.
It didn't.
It didn't. Nominated for 13 Oscars and won 2.
Crazy.
I will let you put that together. Since you guys have seen that movie, thoughts on her performance?
It was easily the best part of the movie.
Okay.
I would say the main redeeming factor of that movie for me, I would say, was the makeup, which was nominated in the Oscars, and then Zoe Saldana's performance.
Yeah.
She was fantastic in it. She was easily the highlight of the movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's pretty much a wash.
Yes.
There's nothing that I find very enjoyable about the movie. The representation is very problematic.
Yeah. Pretty much every community that is they attempted to represent has been like, we hate this.
Exactly. Yeah. But Zoe Saldana was great. Oh, would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Emilia Perez, it's a mess. But Zoe Saldana is extremely talented. I'm bummed out that this is what she won for, but I'm glad that she's got recognition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, let's just say that she won for Avatar: The Way of Water.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? In our heads.
In a better world.
Is that a good choice? I don't know. I refuse to watch Avatar movies.
Okay, let's say Gamora for Guardians of the Galaxy. That's what she won for.
My dad texted me, he was like, Gamora just won. I'm not even joking.
That's awesome.
Okay, what? And then screenplay we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Conclave for adapted.
Yeah.
Anora for original. Sean Baker's first Oscar of the night out of 4.
Yep.
Starting off strong.
I had a feeling that Conclave was going to win. Yeah.
That
I think it was
a pretty Sherlock.
Yeah. I wanted A Real Pain to win for original screenplay.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. You love that movie.
I really liked it. I really liked it. I don't know. I'm happy that Anora won.
Yeah.
Oh my, obviously. For I'm sure. not, no disappointment when it comes to that movie. And I think it does deserve it. Mm-hmm. But those are my two top, fair. I would say.
Yeah. Looking at the categories just between adapted and original, it just seems like original screenplay was a way stronger category this year.
Yeah.
I would probably put, I haven't seen September 5, but out of Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, The Substance, all the nominees for original, I would put those above every single screenplay that's nominated and adapted, except for maybe Sing Sing.
Yeah. Which I still have not gone around seeing.
You got to check it out.
Because I missed it that first time it was in theaters for a little bit, and then A24 did the whole it's back, but only in Toronto and New York.
They really botched the distribution of that, unfortunately. Yeah. But if you get a chance to see it, I would. It's a very heartfelt, very touching movie. Anyone out there that hasn't seen it, Sing Sing, give it a go. Mm-hmm. Performances are amazing.
Yeah, but speaking of adapted category.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy that Conclave won it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it got nominated for so much. I was really expecting more wins from Conclave. I haven't seen it, but from what I heard, it was a pretty well done film. So I guess that's probably why it won screenplay.
Out of the Best Picture nominees, besides Emilia Perez, I would say my next least favorite one was Conclave.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm very much in the minority of that opinion.
Oh, interesting.
And in fact, like, a lot of my criticisms of it do boil down to the writing. Have you seen it, Hannah?
I haven't, right. But everyone I've talked to that has seen it really liked it. My parents really liked it. Caitlin watched it, and she really liked it. Yeah. So
maybe I need to give it another go. There's a couple of these in there, like A Real Pain, even like Sing Sing, weirdly, which I thought was a beautiful movie. I think I need to give it another go to enjoy it more, and then same as Conclave. But in terms of what I didn't like about it,
the writing.
There was some just very outlandish and out of left field things that happened in the ending that I kind of took issue with.
Okay.
If for anyone that's listening and has seen it, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But it is a very well put together movie. The production design, the acting, all the costumes and everything.
Yeah.
But in terms of screenplay, I wouldn't have. It wouldn't have been my pick, personally.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Well, speaking of Conclave.
Yeah. We can get a little taste of another part of it. We've got Overture of Conclave for you guys as our little song for this section. So that's a cheeky little minute 30. So we're going to play that, and then we'll be right back to launch into more Oscar talk. All right, that was Overture of Conclave from the Conclave score, and we're going to be pushing on, moving forward to original song, original score, and sound.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good category, I'd say. There were definitely some wins that were questionable, looking at you.
And speeches.
Song.
And musical sing-songy and moments. Emilia. Elmo from Emilia Perez won for original song.
It did, unfortunately.
Yep. I don't know what song I would have given it to.
Yeah.
Maybe the first song when Zoe Saldana is walking along the streets.
Yeah.
That was like the only one that I like kind of enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, including Elmo.
Well, I just think it's crazy for a musical. Every bit of a song that I've heard, I'm like, this sounds it's so terrible. Bad. Yeah. Sorry, this sounds horrible. Yeah.
I was hoping that somehow magically the controversy for Emilia Perez would have wiped out its win and that Diane Warren would have won.
Oh my God, can we talk about her?
Just for her to go away and that never
poor,
be nominated
That
again.
Poor woman.
I know.
She's been, how many times has she been nominated? Never won.
17? I believe, since the late 90s, too. So she has been there a lot. And I think she's been nominated. This is, now her, fifth or sixth nomination in a row.
Yeah.
And she keeps losing twice to Billie Eilish, which is awesome.
I remember seeing, maybe it was last year or year before, someone, happened to be recording her, had the camera on her when she lost, and she just was, pissed. You could tell she's, I'm leaving early. I can't do this anymore. But, yeah, so it was not...
Most years,
not
I
her.
Enjoy seeing Diane Warren lose, but
not this time.
Would have been the year where I would have rather
the
seen
one
her
year.
Win.
Yeah. The one year.
Unfortunately.
I wanted the song from Sing Sing to win just because I wanted Sing Sing to win something. Yeah. And I was like, this seems they could squeak in there, but
unfortunately, but not.
Original score, I think, was
Yeah.
well deserved. I haven't seen The Brutalist, obviously. But then I've been listening to the score for like the past few days, like just like doing homework, and it's like, hell yeah, like
so good.
I could build something with this. Maybe architecture is for me.
Oh my gosh.
Composed by Nosferatu himself.
Yeah, oh my god. Yep. Daniel Blumberg? Blumberg? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I know. Not to harp on the guy. No. I'm sure he's lovely. But that was the first thing I had, like, the person sitting next to me at the screening and then, like, two other people texting me being like, why is Nosferatu on screen?
I saw it on Twitter, too. Which, interesting guy, because he used to be in this band called Yuck. I was reading about it. Yeah, it's like a noise kind of rock band. And I listened to his song. It was good. And actually, when I looked up Yuck Band, there was someone at CITR in 2011 reviewed one of their albums. So that was kind of cool. Fun. But yeah, I thought that was cool. I haven't actually heard anything from the Brutalist.
It's a really like very grand, like sweeping sort of score. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like overpowering.
Yeah.
Like it's very... Yeah, it's intense, but in this like kind of like reserved way. But okay.
That's what the guy was giving too.
Yeah,
intense but reserved.
Yeah, he's just making music about himself at this point.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's awesome, honestly.
Okay, I was happy with it because when the movie came out, I remember Caroline Polachek put on her story that she liked the score. Yeah. So I was like, I believe anything that she says, so I support.
Real.
That's real. And then for sound.
Finally, Doom Part 2.
Finally, God. Getting some love.
Ugh.
And I also love that in this speech, they all individually shouted out the importance of Denis Villeneuve.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how vital he was to the making of the movie.
Who did not get a nom for best director.
Crazy. Probably the biggest snub at the Oscars, along with no score nomination.
For Challengers. I was like, you better say that.
Which we don't have to get into because we'll probably all cry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But uh-huh. Denis Villeneuve not being nominated was a crime that
very
will
shocking.
Never be forgiven.
No.
Hopefully he'll be nominated for the third.
Yes.
But we'll see. Interesting. Can I provide an interesting Dune stat?
Yes, please.
So Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, mm-hmm. this little movie from
never heard of yet.
2003,
yeah. Pretty indie.
Three, mm-hmm. I want to say. Maybe four. Was nominated for 6 Oscars, mm-hmm. and it ended up winning sound and visual effects.
Oh my god.
Okay.
And it was nominated for Best Picture as well.
Yeah.
And then fast forward the next year, the third installment of the franchise swept the Oscars and won 11. Fast forward to 2025, Dune mm-hmm. Part 2 was nominated for 5 Oscars, and it won visual effects and sound.
Ooh.
And was also nominated for Best Picture. So...
Okay.
Does this mean the Academy is gearing up for a Dune Messiah
Dune 3 sweep? Dune 3 Oscar sweep?
We'll see. We'll see. That's
we'll
what
check
we're hoping
back
for.
In.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then just to round out this little section, because you haven't heard it, we have something here for you, Hannah, from
Thank you.
The Brutalist. Yeah. Picked up specially for you, Pennsylvania, off of the Brutalist score. So, again, another quick little minute one, and then we'll be right back.
Amazing.
All right, so that was Pennsylvania off of the Brutalist score. And we're going to be jumping in to first of our like craft categories, if you can think of it that way. We are going to be discussing, kicking it off with production design, which went to Wicked.
Hell yeah. Probably the most like universally... agreed upon deserving category of the night for production design because they just had it was an insane feat the limited amount of CGI that they used for their sets. And do you guys know like the tulips stat?
No,
they use
Oh my god.
9 million real tulips
my god.
That they planted throughout the movie.
What
for
the heck?
So just okay, that, yeah, they that got stat it. Alone.
Huge day for wow. the Netherlands. This is it, insane. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, okay, because I haven't seen Wicked, and so
yeah. Oh.
I didn't know really like what?
Come on, it's Wicked.
I don't know.
It's so good.
So, well, I didn't want to put any money on it because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
But then when they're playing the clips as they're mentioning each nominee, I was like looking at all the crazy like yeah, mm-hmm. the tulips, the like university, obviously like yeah. the Emerald City and everything. And I was just like, oh, okay, like they're winning this. Yeah. They're winning this because even from that tiny little snippet that I saw, I was like impressed. So yeah.
It's wild. You will be blown away when you watch it.
Yeah, like definitely production design is the category. I was like, yeah, okay, if it's going to win, mm-hmm.
it'll
like,
be that.
It's going to be production design. Yeah. And I am glad to. Like, I feel like musicals, there is this like sense of spectacle with them that Wicked really leans into, and I'm glad it did, because sometimes that can be lost when you do movie musicals.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I feel like that's a good kind of indicator of the success of it as an adaptation.
Yeah.
You know, because set design, production design and set decoration are such big parts of stage.
Yeah.
That sometimes, yeah, it can be lost when you're, some of that whimsy or magic can be taken away when you put it on screen. And so it's nice that they did not do that and they went full out.
No, they maintained the whimsy. Then they also got costume design, which, I'm going to be honest, this whole category, I was gunning for Nosferatu for like
really
production design, costume design. I just wanted Nosferatu to win something because that was like one of my top movies of the year, and especially costume design, because the costume designer is like, she's worked with Eggers on like every one of his films. The amount of like research she did for this was like insane, you know? Like they were like out here in like these like German archives. Yeah. Like she speaks no German. Lindenweir is her name, and she's incredible. That's and it's awesome. Just like, yeah, the amount of research and like time that went into like researching these costumes, I was like, okay, I really want to see her recognized for that. So I was a little bummed that she didn't get anything, but I think Wicked would have been my like second choice to win costuming. Like, I'm not mad that it won.
Yeah.
I think everything is just, it looks really nice. Like all the costumes. And Paul Tazewell, the costume designer, he's the first Black man to win an Oscar in this category and the second Black costume designer overall. So
yeah,
pretty excellent for him. And you were just saying that his speech was one of your favorites of of the night.
Yeah.
I think
wonderful when he got like the standing ovation. Yeah, it was very touching.
Yeah,
and the category overall was just very deserved.
Yeah.
So I had someone point out to me specifically with the university costumes, there's like,
oh my god, and Bowen Yang wearing that was so funny. I really like the way they presented this category too. It was very funny and clever and cute. And
presenter bits can be very cringe sometimes at the Oscars, but this one was very well done. But that that uniform he was wearing, there's a scene in Wicked when I believe it's Elphaba is first arriving to the university, and there's like tons of extras, but if you look at stills of that scene and you zoom into the background extras, every single one of them has like a unique pattern on their university uniform. When you think they could have gone for just something generic and replicated, each character has something unique
their uniform,
which was really, really cool. So I'd say it was definitely deserved.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely wild. Like the commitment, the lengths that like Wicked went to, insane.
Yeah.
And I am glad that it was recognized. And that Paul got his moment.
Yeah.
Because that is, that's seriously an impressive feat.
And for our last little one that we'll be talking about here is makeup and hairstyling, which went to The Substance.
Yeah.
Which I was expecting that to win. I
think most people were pretty locked down that it was going to be The Substance.
Yeah.
And very deserving.
Mm-hmm.
And
very.
The fact that it was winning, it was very, that fed a lot into the reason why I thought Demi Moore was winning,
because
I think now it might be 3 out of 5, but before it was 3 out of 4, and 3 years in a row that the best makeup winner goes on to win a lead performance.
Ooh.
We had like Brendan Fraser, Jessica Chastain.
This is why you get so much right every year, because you're actually paying attention to these patterns.
This is a science
and
now.
Since 2010, before this year, I think it was like 7 out of 15 or 8 out of 15. So basically 50%, like a coin flip. If you win best makeup, you're likely to win best actress. And the fact that Demi Moore was kind of this like industry legend, whereas Mikey Madison is this new up and comer, But then, you know, the Oscars don't really like horror movies. And Anora was the best picture front runner. So there was so many factors feeding into it, but I was sticking with the makeup stat as my as my telling sign. But unfortunately, I was wrong. But at least it won makeup.
It won makeup. It won makeup.
Have you guys seen The Substance?
I haven't either. Because, okay, I'm like, I am not, I don't do well with
I'm
stuff
so
like that.
For sure.
And I wanted to see it, but then I was like, hearing about people like walking out of the theater and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to pay $15 if I'm potentially going to walk
out. Just
going to
walk out. Yeah.
But now I think I can do it, like watch it. I know we were just talking about go to the theater. But I feel like if I was able to watch this at home and like pause it, if I need to like take a breather, I'll watch it. And I want to see it for the performances. So.
Yeah, for sure.
I think like even A Different Man was like so, I don't know if either of you guys have seen that one.
No, but really want to.
The makeup in it is
It looked wild.
Wild. Yeah. Like I'm glad it got nominated in that category. Even if it was just like the one nomination, like that's definitely the category that it deserved because they're, what they do with prosthetics is crazy in that. But I think The Substance definitely had more like sticking power, like in like the public conscience. Sure. So I was kind of like, okay, I could see why.
Yeah.
But I think in honor of Wicked kind of round out that category, we got something from the soundtrack, Dear Old Shiz, which, you know, speaking of the university. Very on theme. So we'll play that and then we'll be right back for our last little thoughts.
Glinda! Is it true you were her friend?
Yes. I mean, I did know her. That is, our paths did cross at school.
Oh, hallowed halls and fine draped walls, the proud meanest sight there, is when gray and sere our hair hath turned, we shall still revere the lessons learned in our days at dear old Shiz. Our days at dear old.
All right, so we are nearing the end of our episode, if you can believe it. So any final thoughts, any categories you want specifically shout out, mention?
I would like to quickly shout out international feature.
Yeah.
Yes, I was so happy. Yeah.
Thank
that
God.
Was awesome.
I'm still here from Brazil.
They were rooting for it.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. They really built up the momentum for that one, right as Emilia Perez was on the decline.
Yes.
So it was the perfect timing. I still thought Emilia Perez was going to take it.
So did I.
Because you don't get 13 nominations for
reason. For no reason. Right?
But, of course, I'm still here. Being able to pull that out was a huge win for the Brazilians. And I think for everyone that wanted to see Emilia Perez lose. But I was so happy.
I know. I was really happy with that too. Literally. It just felt like it was a heartwarming moment. Like, okay, there's still hope in the world.
It's a very, very powerful, very important film, I would say.
Yeah.
Before I watched it, I was a bit confused at all the hype that I was getting from the Brazilian fans. But then after watching it, I was like, oh, I completely understand. This is so worthy of all the critical and awards praise that it's been getting. So I was super hyped about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What else? We want to say that we really enjoyed Conan O'Brien hosting.
Yeah.
Thought he was really funny. Brought something like, it was interesting to watch. Like he made it enjoyable.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like going through the motions. And you could tell he was excited, I think, as well, to be hosting, which makes a difference.
Yeah. He brought some new flair to it. Not that Jimmy Kimmel was a bad host, but he was always kind of a safe host.
Yes.
And it started to feel a little bit stale. So I'm glad that we got to kind of get a new comedic style in there, a bit more self-deprecating, a little bit more raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. Yeah, Conan killed it. It was amazing.
And you guys think, like, as of right now, do you have any sort of future Oscar predictions for 2025?
Oh my God.
That is a
great
question. Let me just check my list of what's coming out. I already have 50 movies on my watch list from 2025.
It's going to be huge.
Ooh. You go.
We've got the Battle of Bacton Cross, I believe.
Oh.
Well, that's what it was called. It looks like the title's been changed to One Battle After Another, which is the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
So he won't be winning.
Yeah, exactly. Bugonia, which is the new Yorgos Lanthimos movie, which with Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons, which is always a very good pairing
when
they come together. The Bride, which is the new Frankenstein movie by Maggie Gyllenhaal. I don't think that'll be Best Picture, but it probably has a really good shot for Best Movie.
Is it Jesse Buckley? Who's in that?
Jesse Buckley, yeah. Christian Bale, and Annette Bening, and Penelope Cruz, and Jake Gyllenhaal, and Peter Skarsgård.
Someone's getting nominated. Yeah. Someone's getting nominated.
That's a stacked ensemble. So
I'm really excited for something I'm excited for. I don't know if it'll get any like awards buzz, but Opus, which is the John Malkovich, really Iowa Debris, which last episode I talked about how much I love Io. So that would be cool if that got some recognition. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
The only one that I'm like 100% convinced of is getting nominated for Best Picture is the Minecraft movie.
Without a doubt, I'm
expecting 13 nominations, a Best International Feature nomination, Best Actor nomination for Jack Black, Best Supporting for Jason Momoa.
And Jennifer Coolidge, she's in that. Yep. She's taking it all, you guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, look out! Look out! Academy.
Yep.
The Minecraft movie's coming your way.
Oh no.
They won't know what hit them.
Oh no. One more. I know we have to wrap up, but just one funny thing because I mentioned Io Debris. When I was watching it, they had on the red carpet, you know, they have their half the screen is someone they're interviewing and then the other half is the people going by, whatever. And they had Rachel Sennett on the screen and they named her. They had it as Rachel Zegler.
Ooh.
And yikes. I just thought that was really funny because last episode we talked about Rachel Sennett movies and then literally at the Oscars she gets misnamed. Yeah. So and also I just thought that's
so funny.
That's awesome.
Little tidbit. But overall I'm pretty happy with the results this year.
The Norris sweep left me a happy day. Oh,
so. I know.
I was happy the movie that swept was not Amelia Perez.
Oh exactly. My gosh. We could have had the bad ending.
Yeah.
But
honestly, anything that wasn't Amelia Perez, I would have been happy with. But I'm even more happy
that it was Anora.
Yeah. To be Anora,
I feel like, this is like you kind of were saying, like, this is a time where I'm actually like, you know what? I think for the most part, what deserved it actually did win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all smiling over here.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Happy little studio.
And it was a good show. It was a good broadcast. It was
exciting,
chaotic award season with lots of different front runners coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So probably my favorite Oscar season in a while. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was a blast.
Yeah.
And so was this episode. Thank you, Wes, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
I will be back next year, hopefully, for the same episode.
Let's hope.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
But
we gotta have someone repping the Minecraft movie.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But, thank you, everyone.
We'll be back again, 4 to 5, Real World, CITR. You know it. You love it. See you all next week.
See ya.